Are we recording?
Okay. We are recording.
Just in time for a train to drive by. Listen to that train.
Is it a night train?
Evening train.
Night train.
Is it a midnight train to anywhere?
Midnight train to Georgia.
No, the last one that goes by is like 11 something.
Come on, I'm trying to give you an earworm.
I listen to a lot of Tom Waits songs, and he writes a lot of songs about trains.
What? Journey?
It's really
Hello?
About heroin.
Midnight train to anywhere. Yeah. I don't care what it's about.
Just a small town squirrel.
Small town squirrel living in a lonely world.
Yep.
Taking okay, carry on. Never mind.
I got it.
I'm going to just say hello to the internet. Hello, internet. I missed you guys.
One
but
minor...
you know what I did like not saying hello to the internet was listening to you guys say hello to the internet. Because if I'm not on the show, that means I get to listen to the Squirrel Report. And
oh no.
I will say that even though I am one of the charter members of this show, I'm also a huge fan. It's a good show.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it has its moments.
Brita, how dare you? You've never even listened to a single episode, have you?
No.
She listens to it when we make it. That's enough.
I pay attention while I'm here.
Well, that's probably one of your problems.
So the gang is back together this week.
Speaking of shows,
the squirrels are all in town.
This is episode 249.
Oh my!
Ooh.
That means our sesquicentennial show.
How much is
it's not a sesquicentennial. What's the 250? Sesquicentennial is 150.
How many years is that in internet years?
It's like a billion. Bazillion. Who knows? So we're anyway, next week will be episode 250.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wasn't sesquicentennial the one that helped Lewis and Clark?
That was no. Yes. Yeah, that was her.
I couldn't resist. Oh, weird invents a fake Native American from the state of the fake Native American.
Ba-doom-tsh.
Oh, good times. So yeah, we're all back in town. Oh, by the way, Jay, I was going to mention it off the air, but you know what? We're on the air now. It doesn't matter. I was driving my daughter to daycare the other day, and parked beside me at a red light was a maroon PT Cruiser convertible.
Did it have
Jay's
the wood
car.
On it?
It did not have the wood on it. It did not have the wood.
It did not have the wood.
But man, your boy's car is a hard top, right?
Yes, it's the Ford.
That is too bad, because that would go from like adding the convertible option. It goes from being the Pussy Desiccator to the Pussy Desiccator 2000.
There's no
woman on earth, no matter how early daddy ran out on mama, that would want to get deflowered in the back seat of a PT Cruiser.
That's the idea.
Can anybody even fit in the back of a PT Cruiser?
They're surprisingly roomy.
Horny teenagers could.
That's
They'll
true.
Figure it out.
But it would have to, but. Thankfully, from what I hear, Jay's son's not gay. So if he was into dudes, another horny dude would absolutely climb into the back of a PT Cruiser, because dudes don't care.
This is true.
But ladies, a PT Cruiser is a bridge too far.
Unacceptable.
Yep.
I'm just going to hold my comments.
What was hilarious is it was like a grown ass man. Like it was a really like. It was a strange, like, it was a dude in, like, his mid-30s, like, mid to early 30s.
Hmm.
Like, I could see, like, an older gentleman who, like, you know, maybe was, like, you know, 40 or 50 and bought it new in, like, the late 90s. I could see that. And then it's just one of those, like, it still runs!
I got a PT Cruiser.
Or again, a teenage boy who's, you know, whose aunt died and only took it to the church in the store.
Who inherited it.
Yes. And dad says, you can have this or you can use a 10-speed.
Or you can walk.
Exactly.
I got one a couple of times as a rental car. And I was completely unimpressed. You know what's worse than the PT Cruiser? Was the Chevrolet copy of it.
The HHR?
HHR.
Yeah. That was...
That was even worse?
Oh, far worse.
I mean, it's worse in my book because it's government motors. Fuck that. Right.
But it was worse in almost every way you could imagine.
Wow. I almost find that hard to imagine. I've never actually driven a PT Cruiser, but much like the new VW Beetle is just a Volkswagen Passat with just funny body panels thrown onto it.
It's just a neon with a different body on.
It's just a neon with some fucked up body panels.
Yeah, they pop the neon, you know, the standard sedan neon off and put on. You know, it was like, ooh, it's retro styling because Volkswagen sold a metric shit ton of the Beetle.
I've driven a few base model neons, and those are the worst pieces of shit on the planet.
It is a absolute stereotypical small Chrysler Econobox.
So you've driven this PT around, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We actually drove it today.
Is it a festering piece of shit?
No, it's underwhelming, but it runs.
Well, you know, the car I got to drive When I wasn't driving mom's 1970 Chrysler station wagon.
Ooh. With a red light on one side and a green light on the other.
The car that routinely had helicopters land on.
It was in the shop. I think it was in the shop more often than it was drivable. But this is my...
That's because it kept taking water in the lazarette.
Well, this is my worst car ever. And believe it or not, it is worse than the PT Cruiser, worse than the Chrysler station wagon. Chevrolet Citation.
A friend of mine had a Citation X11.
Oh boy,
that's the sport model.
Yeah, sport. horrible car, just awful in every way.
What do they do for the sport model, Jay?
Put some stripes on it.
It had like racing stripes, rims, and a spoiler. I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah.
Because it was like a piece of plastic that went across the gigantic hatchback.
That was like the what did they call it? The Escort GT? When they took the Ford Escort and just put all sorts of Mustang cladding on it. They put like the louvered back windows. They did everything they could to make it look like a Fox body.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't a Cosworth. We are boring Brita to tears, guys. So let's wrap this up and get to something a little more.
Next week on Clank and Clack.
Okay. I'm looking at nail polish swatches.
Ooh.
that's what I usually do when... You all go off on cars and stuff.
We go off on car nerdery.
So, Brita, is there any news in the lovely state of Ohio?
We have some sad news to report.
Uh-oh.
Actual sad news. The State Fair in Columbus, apparently there was a mishap. I think that's a kind of a mild word for what happened.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
One of their carny rides fell apart.
Oops.
And an 18-year-old boy, man.
Both.
Whatever. He was riding a carnival ride, 18 years old, and he got killed by a carnival ride. And, you know, I'm afraid of Ferris wheels. And I don't go on rides because I have, like, this weird... I guess it's not really weird. I mean, the fear of, like, heights and falling is not, like, a irrational fear. It's like a good fear to have. Hey, you're up high and you might fall and holy shit, you know, like you're falling through the air and going to, you know. And I
think just about everybody has it. I mean, Yeah. I'm very, very comfortable on heights. Like, I routinely work out on the roof of my house, and I've been really damn high up, and I've climbed trees and done sort of things like that. But never once am I just like, oh yeah, no, I'm super relaxed, you know, 25 feet up in the air. No, I'm not. I'm comfortable.
Be.
I'm not shitting my pants. I'm not distracted. But at the same time, right, under no circumstance ever does it ever not cross my mind that, like, I need to hold on tight lest I fall.
Right. You know, when I was in college, we would do, like, art installations in a certain one of the buildings on the campus. And there was this one area in this building, and it was like a whole wall. It was like a two-story wall that we would hang our installations on. And we had a giant ladder. And one of the classes that we took was learning how to display art. That was like, you know, you had to learn about lighting and you had to learn about, you know, hanging stuff and the whole deal. But so we had this giant ladder and a giant wall, and we'd hang pieces on this giant wall. And it was like kind of like, you'd go up one flight of stairs, and then there was a giant wall and a landing, and then you'd turn and go up another flight of stairs to the second floor. So it was like the whole, you know, two floors. So we had a giant ladder and like three people on the ladder. One person would be on the top of the ladder hanging the work. One person would be on the bottom of the ladder kind of holding it steady. And one person, their only job would be to say to the person at the top of the ladder, "Where are you?" "I'm on top of a ladder." And you had to, like, you know, their job was to remind you, standing like two stories up. And
they had the same job as Julius Caesar's slave.
I was just gonna say that. Weird.
What?
The Julius Caesar slave that was just supposed to whisper in his ear about how he was.
Yeah, it was exactly.
You are mortal.
Yeah,
was all so, that you would say to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I don't know how we got on this, but Carney rides are dangerous. You know.
Yeah, that was the first thing that popped into my head when I heard this story this morning. Ugh. I was making breakfast. Was I have a friend who told me, and it's one of those, like, you hear someone, people say these lines that just stick with you for the rest of your life. He's like, yeah, I like roller coasters and amusement parks. I mean, they're cool and all that. But he goes, deep down inside, I know that they've spent millions of dollars designing these roller coasters and setting them all up for the safety standards and all that. So no matter how fast they go or how many times they flip me upside down or how many times they do this, I'm going to be fine. Now, a carnival ride, I cannot ever get on a carnival ride and not say I'm taking my life in my own hands.
Have you seen the people at carnival rides? I mean, that work the rides. Yeah. They're probably the same people that put the rides together.
Yes, that's true.
No thanks.
This one was particularly bad. They often
look like someone who's operating under an assumed name. And
I've actually seen video. Have you seen the video of the ride?
And it was horrific.
Horrifying. Yeah.
This was not just like, I mean, you see, I mean, shit happens, right? I mean, sometimes bolts crack. I mean, there's stuff happens, but this looks like,
yeah,
you know, one of those failure cascades you hear about. It was
put together by carnies,
right? I mean, it was like somebody like bypassed or disconnected the safety systems or something happened. Because
I don't know,
this thing, it basically, it's one of these things that for those of you that haven't seen it, I'll paint a mental picture. It's one of those things on a big arm with a bunch of seats around it, and it swings you way up in the air, and you come back down and you're spinning around and at the same time. And this thing whacked one of its appendages basically on the frame of the thing at full swing. And it launched several people. I mean, it broke a whole seat section off and launched several people into the air.
I'm surprised just one person died.
Well, it might be more. There's two in critical condition right now. So, yeah, it was horrific. And it's just, you know, F equals MA. I mean, you know, yeah. Kinetic energy is a bitch. And when it's put together by dope smoking lowlifes, you know.
You are maligning the carnies.
I don't think that's possible.
I think it's a statement of fact.
Yeah.
We had a church fair this past weekend, like a block from our house. We have an Oktoberfest every year at this church down the street from us. And it's like a big deal. They have like the rides and they have the Monte Carlo room with the gambling and you know, the food and the church fair and the whole deal. And they pack so many of these rides into one small parking lot behind the Catholic school. It's a little scary to walk through it for me, even because there's like shit spinning like right near you, and you're like, okay. But I said to Mike, I said, how do you think you become a carny? Like, are you born into it? Is it like a circus family, or like, do you apply for that job? Like, how does that happen? Because there's like carnival kind of companies that travel around and they do carnivals and they have the rides and, but like, how do they get the people who work them?
I mean, I'm honestly speaking, I bet a lot of them are people that are trying to keep ahead of their past.
They're moving every
few weeks, and every single one of these guys, I mean, ever so often you get someone that, you know, you'll see a few that are just like, oh, these are just, you know, fun loving people. They're like, there's two types of carnies. There's the kind that they're the kind that look like the fun loving people that they love the carnival. And so they pick the job where they get to be at the carnival every day that they're working. And then there's the other kind, which looks like they got out of jail and they're looking for a place where they don't, you know, they have a place to stay and they're not going to be in one place at any one point in time for too much. And every single one of them are dope smoking low lives. And you think Alan's maligning the carny people, Brita? I bet you $1,000 you can't get me a vial of clean carny piss.
Yeah.
I won't set foot in the church Monte Carlo room because, hey, guess what? That's gambling and I can lose my money, but I'll bet you $1,000 that you can't get me clean carny piss. Cause that's called a sure thing.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, well, and you know, things evolve. I was amusing my daughter by showing her videos from like Coney Island amusement parks at the turn of the century, you know, the crazy shit people did and got killed left and right. And I wouldn't be surprised if in another 100 years stuff like that would be unthinkable. I mean, the idea that you would put yourself in that kind of machine and get flung around in the air, people would be just like, those people were insane. How could they do that? I mean, I'm sure entertainment will be all virtual and, you know, simulators and stuff like that. So, I mean, you really won't have to put yourself in a box and get flung into the air for your cheap thrills. But
the difference is that at least you're stepping out of a dented stainless steel box before you throw up versus taking off a pair of VR goggles and then fucking vomiting cotton candy all over the parking lot.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, do you go on carny rides or rides like that?
Carny rides? No. Established amusement park rides? Yes.
Hmm. I'm with Jay on that. I have splatter painted pavement on carny rides because, hey, guess what? I've been on some pretty crazy roller coasters. I'm not a super thrill seeker, but I've been on some really good roller coasters. And there's one thing to say is herky jerky starts and stops are not something that happens with good roller coasters. Herky jerky starts and stops is the name of the game in the carny.
Well, the little carny coasters can't get the speed and the thrills that the amusement park ones can because they're not big enough. So they got to substitute, you know, jerking you around and stuff like that. Now,
whipping you around with these things like this fucking killer ride that just that murdered those people.
Right. I went to spin this thing
and we're going to swing this thing. Right. And just,
I went to the boardwalk with my daughter last week. And
did you sing the song?
No. But we
was it in your head?
We did ride the roller coaster that was there, and it was a wooden roller coaster. And you know, I figured it was okay because it's been there forever, and you know, never had a problem. And I just, yeah, it was a wooden roller coaster, so it slammed you around a lot, and I got off, and I think my kidneys were bruised.
My kidneys were on the same side. Yeah.
And, you know, so we rode the Ferris wheel, which was fun. And we rode the little train that goes around. We rode the merry-go-round. And, you know, but they had these, like, swinging things and spinning things. And, yeah, I'm just like, nah, no.
No, thanks. I can drink three martinis and throw up. Thank you very much. And that's a lot more fun.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I never really liked that stuff when I was a kid. I mean, I'd get on those spinny things once or twice and get sick and throw up and be like, I don't want to do that again. So
yeah, that was me as a kid. Yeah. I just learned the little, like the natural thing of the, you know, every kid comes to that point in their life when they realize, oh man, I can spin around as fast as I can. And when I stop, I am all kinds of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like one of those, like, there's your first drug that you experimented with.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the spinning around. And I realized that spin around. And I stopped. And I remember laying in my backyard at my parents' house and like laying on the ground and going, oh, wow, it still feels like I'm spinning. And then like a few seconds later, oh, man, it still feels like I'm spinning. I don't want it to spin anymore.
Make it stop.
Make it stop. So the idea of something else that will induce that to you, especially one that won't respond to the, okay, I think that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like you have a button to push when you're done.
I mean, it's the same reason why, like, I never play drinking games. Like I'll sit there with a beer in my hand at a party and watch some people play some drinking games, but I will not play a card game or a memorization game or something like that where, hey, guess what? Depending on how well or whatever luck deals me is whether or not I'm going to drink my drink. Because, and guess what? There might be a point where I'm like, all right, I think I might want to wait a little while before I have my next drink. Nope, you got to chug it.
Oh no.
Nope.
Yeah, that's called not fun.
No. Seems like it just seems wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a waste of alcohol.
Yep.
Yeah, I never understood. Even when I was in college, I didn't really understand drinking games, mostly because I drink one and pass out. But it always seems silly to me. I mean, you're like, if you want to drink, just drink.
In college, since I didn't drink till I was 21, so I was insanely inexperienced in college at drinking. My one drinking game was, hey, man, how drunk can I get and still have a good time tomorrow?
Not
that
very.
That was my drinking game. I don't know. I kind of mastered it as an adult.
Drink lots of water.
Yeah.
Drink lots of water and pace your goddamn self. Don't do shots.
Oh yeah, don't do shots.
Like just ever, don't do shots. There's no good reason to do shots. Like it makes terrible alcohol taste worse. It makes good alcohol taste bad. It puts it in your system faster than you can feel it. So the drinks will creep up on you. Yeah, no, not a good idea.
What about Jägermeister?
No.
See, now Jay, I discovered Jägermeister. After I discovered Alpine Amaros, and Jägermeister is the world's shittiest Alpine Amaro. But if you drink it as an Amaro and not as Jägerbomb,
oh god,
it's not great. But it's
you
okay.
know it, this discussion is actually making me a little queasy.
I remember the last time I had Jägermeister. And we went out, I think it was for my birthday. It was like my 25th birthday or something like, it was that long ago. Yeah, it has.
That was 6 years ago, Brita.
Yes, and so we went out for my birthday, and you know, Mike bought me a couple shots of Jägermeister because he thought it was funny. He thinks I'm funny when I'm drunk.
I think you're funny when you're drunk.
Okay. Yeah, well, I agree.
Do you know why we think this, Brita?
Apple pie.
I don't know.
Because you're funny when you're drunk.
Okay. Well, anyway, so he buys me a couple shots of Jägermeister, and you know, I vaguely remember forcing him to go to a dance club with me, and I was like dancing. Anyway, I woke up the next morning, and I was so painfully hungover. It was horrible, and so I called him Jägermeister Poo Poo Head. So, yeah.
Why did you stop calling him that?
Well, I still sometimes do. But, yeah, that was the last time me and Mr. Jägermeister had a date. Never again. And I like licorice taste. I like that flavor, but nope. And Jay, I have not had apple pie since. And I blame you for that one. Mr. Apple Pie Poo Poo Head. I blame you.
Ruined it for her.
Speaking of alcohol, right. I read a very prestigious article in the Journal of Nature.
Oh, well played on the segue, Weird.
Thank you very much. I saw that coming, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to nurse this one. I'm a professional. By the way, which totally makes you professional by bragging about how professional you are.
I think if you're a professional, you get paid.
I wish. Wouldn't that be great?
I know. It'd be awesome. If we could have a dollar for every show.
Yeah, but I'm also a professional biologist, and I suck at that.
Oh. Yeah. Professional podcaster.
I'm way better at podcasting.
We're not professionals at this in any way, shape, or form.
Someone send me money so I can be a professional. I don't mean that.
My resume is very extensive and downloadable.
I got half a rifle once for podcasting. That's a totally different subject. Go ahead.
Did you get half of that rifle?
No.
I get half. No, I actually didn't even get that.
You got none of the rifle. If I remember my story correctly.
I got nothing. But go on.
But then the squirrel report came through for you.
It totally did. Thank you, Squirrel Report.
Which is the best podcast?
Squirrel Report.
Uh-huh. It's a pretty good podcast.
The best.
Better than that other one you were on.
I blocked that one out.
Way better.
Brita's been on a few podcasts.
Yeah.
I blocked all of them out, except this one. This one is a little bit
crazy. One of the podcasts that Brita and I are on together, I think I've blacked most of it out.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That may have been my problem, too. Yeah.
Oh, it was that other podcast where we did the Obama's election thing. I had a bottle of Beefeater sitting on the desk beside me, and I just kept pouring another glass and pouring another glass.
I was actually on a podcast the night Obama got elected, watching the results come in, and I can't remember how many drinks I had, but I was pretty hammered.
Yep. No, that was the same story I was talking about. Yeah. And then I woke up and it was Wednesday, and I went to work. And that was where I learned that if you sneak into the operating theater, if in fact you work at a place as an operating theater and partake in the medical oxygen.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Is that amazing? That
clears the hangover right up.
Yeah. Cleared the hangover right up. Didn't get over the fact that I was probably dealing with like 4 hours of bad sleep, but
yeah.
We've interrupted your segue, but we're still kind of on your segue.
Did any of you read the article I sent? This is like full fledged, like this is no joke. Like I heard about it on the news and was like, oh, I don't know. And then I like looked it up and went, oh my God, this is fucking Nature. This is actually one of the publications where it's a goddamn pain in the ass to get your article in there. Like, and this is like I didn't read the entire thing, but I skimmed most of it. And yeah, no, this is like a legitimate study, but these people found that partaking in recreational social drinking can improve your memory.
If you learn a thing and then drink, it improves your memory.
Right.
Yes.
This explains why I passed my Ohio State notary test a couple weeks ago. I'm not even exaggerating, because I am now a Ohio State notary. Yay me. But I went in and I applied to take the test, and I got the booklet, and it was like a month before the test, and I put the booklet on the fridge, and I was like, yeah, I'll read it later, you know. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, I gotta take the fucking test. And it was like the night before, and I said to Mike, how hard could this be? I should probably read this now. And I think it was a Friday night. And I was like, and we went to the gym, and I was like, kind of relaxed. I'm in the backyard. I was like, I should probably read the notary book before I take the test, right? He's like, yeah, you should probably do that. And so I read the test, and I memorized the oaths. You have to memorize the oaths word for word. And while I'm doing that, I'm drinking hard cider. And it was the first time I even cracked open this booklet that we had been given, and I got a 95 on the test the next day.
Nice.
Yeah.
I joked to my wife. I sent my wife a copy of the same article and said, see, here's your problem, because my wife's got a terrible memory and she rarely drinks. Of course, I read the article, and they stated that what they believe happens is the alcohol interacts with your hippocampus, and that changes over your brain's processing from processing short-term memories to converting short-term memories to long-term memories.
Oh, well, and that wouldn't work on her,
because she doesn't have one. No, right. they done threw that away. Hmm. But yeah. It was a cool article.
Interesting.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Cool story. Now,
there was a study I read like several years ago that was very similar to this, where they did they had people learn things while they were drinking.
Yes.
And then they tested them like the next morning, sober and drinking again. And they found that if you learn something while you're drinking, you regurgitate it better if you're also drinking.
If you reach the same level of intoxication.
They say that there's a lot about, like, I mean, there's all these artists, you know, be it like, you know, Miles Davis or Kurt Cobain or Sam Kennison or all of these different, you know, people that just were oh my God, they're so brilliant, they're so good, and they're so fucked up. I mean, they're just fucked up out of their minds. Like, I can't even like tie my shoes when I'm that fucked up, and here they are playing a guitar or rattling off a stand-up act or doing all that. And the reason is because, hey, yeah, no, if you practice something in that state,
yeah,
you can do it in that state. And then, you know, someone like Kris Kristofferson, who is one of the greatest songwriters in America, and then he sobered up and has written fucking anything. It's amazing just how many amazing songs Kris Kristofferson wrote in like the 70s and early 80s. And then from then on, there's just nothing. Like, at least Johnny Cash kept going after he cleaned up. And Willie Nelson,
yeah.
Whoops.
But so that's why you also get like, there's certain artists or groups that are just, you know, the Rolling Stones, you know, are just amazing when they're all kinds of fucked up, and then when they kind of get their act back, get together. I don't know if the Stones ever got their act together.
No.
They certainly can't be as fucked up as they were in the 70s when they actually wrote albums that people listened to.
Somebody who's not musical, but Stephen King.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He wrote fantastic books while he was a drunk. Yep. I mean, fantastic. All of his bestsellers, drunk. And now he's like this, like, shithead that kind of trolls Twitter because he's a, you know, liberal.
See, I would, I would actually argue it was a social justice warrior that got Stephen King. Cause I will go to the, so Stephen King is first up. The reason why he was such a drunken junkie is because he's fucking crazy, you know? And I actually just the other day I was doing some research on Stephen King because I ended up like was reading about something about a story. I was reading like a synopsis. I was trying to remember a story that I'd read by him. And it seems like every fucking third book or third short story it has, it's about a kiddie diddler. Some kids getting raped or fucked up. Like it's a prolific theme in Stephen King's writing. And I'm like, he had to have been touched as a kid and there's no reference to it whatsoever. But I suspect A, he was molested as a kid, and B, he's just nuts. He's a nutbag. He's a triskaidekaphobe, and he's got a lot of emotional issues. Let's put it that way. And nice guy, by the way. I've actually met him, and he is a liberal shithead, but I must say, like, you know, actually, you know, shaking his hand and talking to him, he's a really nice guy. I will say that I think it is the liberal shithead. That's the social justice warrior, thing that's got it. Is now that he's trying to do a message because he's crazy. And so he is like his stuff in like the 70s and 80s. He wrote some amazing stuff back then. He also wrote some fucking shit. I mean, I started Firestarters 3 times and could not get like past the 20 pages of it. It's unreadable. It's just so poorly done. And yet, you know, and like Skeleton Crew is a collection of short stories. Like The Mist is one of my favorite short stories in like all of creation. And yet there's like 3 or 4 stories in there that are just word salad. I can't even make heads or tails of it. They're so poorly written. But I'll argue that The Green Mile is one of the greatest American novels.
It is, yeah. Period,
bar none. And that was written by a stone cold sober Stephen King. And just a few years after that, he wrote Hearts in Atlantis. And that book that's a collection of short stories, though they're kind of a montage in himself. So it's kind of an overarching theme. It all involves, they're all interconnected. But that is a spectacular written book. But it seems like recently I haven't really read much of anything recently because it's really my wife has been like picking up a couple of his more recent books. And it's just he's gone totally political and he's I think it's a social justice warrior. I think he feels like he needs to have a message now. And as Larry Correa pointed out with the whole Worldcon bullshit is, hey, guess what? You know, if you want to kind of weave a good message into your story, go right ahead. But if you don't have a good story, your message is fucking worthless. And I think that's Stephen King's problem is, I mean, number one, he's kind of like Quentin Tarantino. There's so many people these days that have gotten to become like a big name. And now they just don't try anymore. Cause guess what? When Quentin Tarantino puts out a movie, it doesn't matter how much of a piece of shit it is.
Topic.
People are going to go see it. Yes.
Well, I was gonna interject Joss Whedon.
Yep.
Yep.
Joss Whedon, he has broken his brain on the social justice warrior Twitter thing. I am a huge Buffy fan. I love everything Joss Whedon has done. I even like Dollhouse, which was kind of like not even a thing. You know, I like that show. And I, of course, Firefly and Serenity and, you know, all that stuff. But it seems like Joss Whedon now has like gone off the rails somehow. Like, I'm not sure like what has happened there, but there has been like a psychotic break maybe, or
it's just the social justice warrior thing. What? It's just the, yeah. If you're insanely liberal, you know, you're no longer an advocate or, you know, there. No, you're a warrior. You're fighting back. Like, there's this sense of urgency.
Resist! This,
yeah, so like...
sense of urgency on Twitter in 140 yeah. characters.
Yeah, and yeah, then you've got, yeah, you've got idiot candy like Twitter that's just... oh, yeah, yeah, create a hashtag and everyone's, you know, Michelle Obama wrote hashtag free our girls or whatever the hell it is. And hey, guess what? Boko Haram is still capturing and enslaving girls.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They gave it up. That worked. They were totally shamed in a going legit. they opened a 7-Eleven. That's right. That's probably racist.
I guess.
Actually, that makes a perfectly good segue. Has been in our little pre-show talk. Jay was mentioning the isn't it funny how news stories seem to change as administrations change?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you had what was it? Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer said on the in an interview. I don't even know where he said it. I just heard the sound clip going around. Said that. You know, oh, the oil companies, you know, the price of crude oil fluctuates, but the price of gasoline, it goes up, but it never goes back down. Everyone who's pumped their own gas.
Yeah.
Knows that it's, gas prices go up. And yeah, no, there was a time when I was, you know, filling up for $4.25 a gallon.
Yep. Remember when you couldn't drill your way out of it?
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Oddly enough, the solution is drilling your way out of it.
Yeah, who would have thought?
But it's one of those, like, yeah. I mean, as a general rule, when there's a goofy liberal at the helm of it, they do stupid things that make that make gas prices go up. Like tell people, yes, there's oil reserves, but that's a national park that looks like the surface of the fucking moon in Alaska. We can't put oil derricks there. That might, I don't know. A caribou might poop on a pipeline.
Oh, there's environmentalists worried that by leaving the Apollo stuff on the moon, we're polluting the moon's environment.
Oh my God.
I mean, these people are not sane.
Stop.
Yeah. But again, when you have nuts like that have the ear of the policymakers, you have things like, yeah, gas prices are going to go up because, hey, guess what? We only can buy it from these terrible people who live in horrible, unstable countries.
Now the U.S. is the largest oil producer in the world.
Yep. And you might have someone like Secretary of State Hillary Clinton who would just suddenly decide to have Muammar Gaddafi killed because, like, why were we even in Libya?
Yeah, because Democrats love them to start some wars.
True. That's true, but we were never at war in Libya. They make it a point to say that.
Speaking of wars and crazy people, did you know that the military is not an equal opportunity employer?
As a matter of fact, I may know firsthand because after September 11th, I called the recruiting office and they told me to go pound sand.
I got hung up on when I was a senior in high school by the Army recruiter.
Because they want to make the amputees not hire them?
Right. Yeah.
No. You come in with all four of your limbs and then we ship you out with less.
He was working me really hard and he was like, because my friend had joined the Army and you know, he was calling me and I was like, do you think it's a problem that maybe, you know, I only have one leg? Click! That was the last time I heard from him.
Yeah. So. yeah, so anyway, Trump has decided that the Army, military is not the place, U.S. military is not the place for people of the transgendered persuasion, which it's hilarious. There's a little meme thing going around with Trump and Mattis sitting there next to each other. And what does he say, Brita? It's like, watch me.
I can get the liberals to defend, or I can't remember.
Yeah, defend joining the Army.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I bet I can get liberals to defend joining the Army. And Mattis says, no way. And Trump says, watch this.
And hey, check this shit out.
Check this out.
Yeah.
It's so apt. I mean, yeah.
I think Trump could say the sky is blue and the liberals would pitch a fit trying to argue against it.
That's one of the things that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around, that we live in a world now where homosexuals are protesting in the streets because they're not allowed to join the military. What?
Well, no, homosexuals were perfectly fine with.
No. It's like the you know,
It's the LGBTPQRSTUVWXYZ.
The voting block.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
the big thing that I've got is, look, okay, I get the whole, like, all right, the you know, there's a few people that are, I mean, we've got like the dude that threatened Ben Shapiro. He was a, I can't remember what branch of the service he was in, and now he's pretending to be the world, like a lady and a linebacker at the same time. He's pretending to be Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jr. Thank you, Jay. You saw that piece of shit too.
Yes. I thought it was twins too. I'm not gonna lie.
But the supposedly Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the work of making a twins too. It sounds even worse than Junior. Can you believe it? But I could see like someone who they're already established in the military and all that. And I mean, again, I've actually got no, you know, the whole gays in the military, you know, totally fine with, you know, even women in combat, totally fine with, again, so long as they can do the fucking job. And we're not playing any silly games on the no, the men are supposed to be running with a 150-pound pack, and guess what, the women are supposed to be running with a 150-pound pack, and guess what, if you need to take a breather and all the other men don't need to take a breather, fuck you, you're out of it. The same way is if, you know, the fucking goofy skinny dude that looks like Rachel Maddow, he's a dude, he's not a woman. But let me tell you, you know, Justin Bieber, you know, tries to join the Marines. Justin Bieber is going to need to take a break.
When I joined
the Marine Corps. Or asthmatic me. That's the reason why they hung up on me. I have asthma.
When I joined the Marine Corps and went to boot camp, we started off with like 90 guys in the platoon, and we finished with like, I don't know, 70 something. So we had, you know, that was just, you know, basic. Yep. We had a lot of guys that couldn't hack it. So, I mean, it's not for everybody. The thing you got to remember is the military is extremely conservative, and it's conservative for a reason. It's you know, combat and the just military life in general is extremely stressful. Training is stressful, and it's stressful for a reason, because, you know, they look what they're training for. They're training to go fight and kill and destroy. So, you know, they want to push you because they want you to break in. If you're going to break, they want you to break in training, not
right. Not in the battlefield. Yeah.
So, but also, I mean, there's another aspect is they are knocking the individuality out of you. They're turning you. They're turning you from, you know, Alan, the Marine recruit, into a Marine, not into Alan.
Exactly.
And so they cut your hair all the same way. They make you wear the same clothes.
Right.
You know, if you've got tattoos, you've got to cover them up.
Yep.
You're not allowed to be an individual. You have to be conformed. You are uniform. Everything about it is uniform.
If you're too tall, you can't be in. If you're too short, you can't be in. If you're too fat, you can't be in. If you're too skinny, you can't be in. You know, it's not and for
so,
everybody.
Yeah, so guess what? Yeah. I walk into, I mean, obviously I'm too old at this point in time, but if, you know, 10 years ago, I walk into a recruiting office and I've got my beard. Yeah. They're going to be like, yeah, we can hire you. You know, you're in it. I don't have asthma and I don't have any disqualifying, you know, characteristics, you know? Yeah. We'll bring you in there, but guess what? We're going to shave that beard off. Or, you know, you walk in with Alan walks in with hair down his back. Yeah. Guess what? We're going to cut that off.
Yep.
Or even a buddy of mine who's still in the Army. And yeah, he went in and they're just like, the older guys at the recruiting office when he was coming in, they were calling him Goldilocks, and he didn't even have long hair. He had just, you know, standard issue boy's hair, but it was just too long for the army.
Yep.
And so, yeah. How does someone who is, you know, changing gender, you know, going to fit into that? And why would they want to? I mean,
well, they want to because
they don't fucking have dividers in the fucking bathrooms.
They want to because it's a political tool to use against the administration they don't like.
Yeah. That's exactly
the only reason.
One thing that I've consistently heard from transgendered people is there's generally is some, you know, some discomfort with how their plumbing is, you know, whatever they've got on there. Well, no, just the, like, I've heard like a sex advice thing of the, oh, I'm a guy who's into trans women, but I need to know, you know, like if I start talking to someone and I suspect that they're trans, you know, I kind of want to, like, I'm kind of into girls with penises. I kind of want to talk to them about their penis. And it's one of those, like, the consensus generally is, no, you don't get to do that. Because as a general rule, that's, you know, way too personal, way too private, and, you know, sort of thing to discuss. And there's a reason why, again, they're not gay. They're not straight. They're, you know. They're not even transvestites. Don't you dare call someone who's transgendered a transvestite.
It's all very confusing.
Yeah. And so the idea that someone with all this going through their head is now going to have to sit down in a toilet in the middle of a fucking room with no dividers and take a shit. And then when they're all done, go wash up in a gang shower. I mean, how is that, like, even remotely on somebody's list?
Well, to speak to it from the other side of the argument, they said the same thing about black people.
Yeah, the thing
Jay?
Is, though,
let Jay talk
about
this.
I'm not, that's not what I'm saying. And again, I am totally fine with the, you know, if they want to sit down. I mean, it's one of those, like, I'm sorry, you take a transgendered person and you give them a military haircut, and, you know, let's be fair to everybody else and group them by your downstairs plumbing, because I'm sorry, I don't think Brita would feel very comfortable if she went into the locker room after the gym and saw someone with long hair and carrying themselves effeminately, and they undress to get into the shower and this big old dong hanging between their legs. Something tells me that would not make Brita particularly comfortable. Am I wrong?
Well,
depends on how big it was.
No, I'm just saying, like, what is the dong doing?
Well, okay. So here's the thing. The liberals like to use the military as some sort of social experiment. And that's the wrong thing. The military is not the place you want to do your social experimenting. The military needs to run behind society. So they integrated the military after World War II. And it took a long time. They integrated the military before society was integrated. And it wasn't until well after the Vietnam War that the military was comfortably integrated racially, about the same time society was.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, you know,
the busing riots in Boston were in the 70s.
Right. So,
concurrent.
So if you think about gays in the military, we went from no, about the same time society was saying no, to don't ask, don't tell, about the same time society was going, whatever, you know. And now we're like, okay, whatever, about the same time society is like, okay, whatever. So, you know, it's...
But I'm just doing math in my head is... So, I mean, there's a couple of different kinds of transgendered, I guess you could say, is, you know, there's the people that are...
There's a spectrum.
Yeah, there is an absolute spectrum. But what I'm saying is, there are some people that are transgendered and they're doing it entirely by fashion and accessories. Let's just put it that way. it right. is. These people can readily transition back and forth between genders if they so desire.
Like the Eddie Izzard.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, but he's a transvestite, not transgender.
No. Right. He has come out and said he's transgender.
Oh, okay. Has he?
He has.
Because he used to be just a dude in a dress.
Nope. He has come out and said transgender.
Okay. So. Well, then Eddie Izzard is a great example, or I guess, But the wasn't Emma Watson's now claiming to be like
what?
Yeah, something about that, but whatever. There's
Hermione. What?
Yeah, yep.
You know what? Okay, let me just stop. Let me just stop, because all right, if we're going with this sort of like, oh, sometimes I like to wear boy clothes, mm-hmm. kind of definition of transgender, then sure, I'm transgender too.
Well, I've heard people call up sex advice. This is how bad social justice warriors come in. I've literally heard like multiple times, no less than five times, someone called in to either Dan Savage or another sex advice podcast with the question of I'm an open person. I'm very pro gay, but I'm a dude and I'm not at all into cock. Does that make me a homophobe?
No,
dead serious, not even like sugarcoating it a little bit, but overall the statement of if you wouldn't be willing to blow a dude in a gas station bathroom just for something to do,
makes you a homophobe.
And that just the idea of putting another man's cock in your mouth absolutely disgusts you, or you're a woman and going down on another chick is just
okay.
You know, then No. You're not a straight person. You're a homophobe.
Okay.
Like, that's how bad the social justice warrior thing is.
Everybody needs to just get off Tumblr. Like, there is literally like a generation of people that needs to remove themselves from Tumblr, because I don't know if any of you have been on Tumblr, but it's like this social justice warrior, gay, transgender. And I'm not saying it's just Tumblr. It's the internet in general. It's like, I think it's the immediacy of attention that you get on the internet.
And the echo chambers.
It's a combination of those two things.
The culture virtue signaling. I mean,
right. And you say a thing and it's like you have like 30 other people who are like cheering you on, and then all of a sudden you're viral and you're getting all of this attention and it in your mind, and apparently because it sells ads or whatever, it legitimizes your kind of crazy weird beliefs. When really, like, there's like this macro world, right, of how the world is. There's this macro world of how things work and society and people and that whole thing. And then you have like this micro world of the internet, where everybody is important and everybody's thought is as important as everybody else's. And it's not so. And I know that if you live your life on the internet, it appears to be so, that like every crazy thought is legitimate. It really is not. And I think that because the internet is so new, I think that society as it is, plus the media, is trying to navigate how to work with that. You know what I mean? Because it's like it's very democratic. Everybody's voice is as important as everyone else's on the internet, right? It's like this kind of global platform. Everybody can say whatever they want, blah blah blah.
Yes.
And I think that society has not been able to, because it has happened so fast, I don't think society has been able to figure out how to deal with this sort of democratic platform of ideas.
Also, I would say because,
and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying the internet is bad in that way. I'm saying it's great, but I don't think we have learned how to filter legitimacy of thought.
Well, that's, I mean, that's a big thing. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. It's also is because now everybody has a voice, because that, I mean, that's one of the big reasons why the media hates the internet so much, and all this fake news crap is coming through is because somebody on Facebook can break a news story better than CNN, and someone can make a viral video on YouTube, and guess what? And now, you know, CNN is pulling footage from YouTube.
Right.
And it's one of those, like,
I mean, news people are reporting Twitter feeds.
Yeah.
Because
of that. I mean, it used to be, someone would bring a video cassette into the local news studio so they could see whatever crazy event they happen to capture, or someone would bring their phone in to a news studio so they could show what they captured. Now it's one of those, like, what the fuck do I need you for?
Right.
You know, I can go out and get this all by myself. I don't need you talking over it. And so same ideas. Now that, you know, our voices are so powerful, you get people who vie for attention or are hungry for power will move on things. That's where we get the, you know, oh, I'm a victim of gun violence because my sister's brother's cousin's nephew killed themselves.
Right. Exactly.
Or, you know, oh, I'm, you know, you've got all these, you know, fake sexual assault allegations.
Right. And all it takes is a simple Google search for somebody in the media to collate that information and present it as a story.
And it goes, and it goes on the other side too, is on the, you know, on the right side of it, you've got the stolen valor guys, the guys that go to the surplus store and they buy themselves a full military uniform and make up a story of them being in Afghanistan so they can get that respect that they see other people get that they can't get. And, you know, even, you know, I've heard stories of people that have said, oh, I've defended myself with a gun, and maybe they didn't.
Right.
And so it's all virtue signaling is what it is. It's not, you know, that's not just a left wing thing. And so now we've got the idea that if I was a super lefty, I might be claiming, oh, I'm transgendered too, because, hey, guess what? My wife makes the big money and I'm the stay at home dad and I cook and I clean. I'm kind of the girl and she's kind of the boy.
Yeah. We always thought that about you anyway.
I'm a pretty princess.
You are
the prettiest.
But again, it's one of those, like, is that you get to the point of actually going again back to Dan Savage's podcast, love it. And boys, is screaming liberal, but he was talking to a guy who was doing, I'm not exactly sure how he was getting the information, but essentially he was mining the internet for data. And instead of, like, looking at people's shopping records and things like that as a way to determine things about them, rather than directly asking people. Cause essentially if a poll calls you up and says, oh, you know, do you identify as gay, straight, or other? There's no incentive for you to tell the truth. Mm. You may want to tell the truth or you may want to lie, and you may want to lie one way or the other. But meanwhile, if you're jerking it to gay porn, yeah, you might be gay. there's certainly there's not a whole lot of straight dudes that are doing that.
No?
That's I don't know, Jay.
I'm still trying to figure out how I can pull this back to a point I wanted to make about a half an hour ago.
Yeah. Make the point. But essentially,
he was saying, like, for the longest time, and if you'd asked me before I heard this, the statement was that gays are about 10% of the population. And according to this guy's realization, that it was closer to 5.
That's the same kind of statistical analysis they do where like Target can tell you if you're pregnant just by what you buy.
Yeah.
It sounds like the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, gay people do this. Therefore, if you match this profile, you're probably gay. Yeah. And if you don't, you're probably not.
These 10 things you do if you're gay.
Right.
You won't believe number 5.
Well, but that's...
What? I want to hear Jay's point from a half hour ago.
Yeah, I do too.
Now I'm curious.
The whole transgendered in the military, Rita posted a picture that encapsulated it perfectly.
Oh.
You know the one I'm talking about. The guy's like 300 pounds, looks like a slob. I mean, more than 300. I mean, this guy probably ran 450 because he had the big belly hanging down to his knees.
Yeah, his fat folds. With a
sign, allow me to serve my country. And I'm like, no, because you're gross.
Well, wasn't I am worthy of serving my country because?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Honey, no. No. There is no uniform that will fit you.
I don't think he can run. How can you run in that?
Yeah.
I mean, Jay, his belly was covering his dick.
Jay has a point. I mean, it's like, are these people who would actually serve anyway?
Right. No, they're just using it. They're just using it as a political tool against Trump. That's all it is. And as Brita mentioned earlier today,
yes,
nobody's talking about health care.
What did I just see? Apparently a DNC staff member was caught trying to steal something.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that either. Nobody's talking about why Debbie Wasserman Schultz kept employing this guy after all the other House guys fired him. And he was
trying to
leave the country.
It's on Fox News. Yeah. House IT staffer arrested trying to leave the country.
Where was he from, too?
Pakistan. He spent $300,000. He wired $300,000 to Pakistan, and he was trying to get on a plane to flee the country. His wife already left. And it's this great big mess that the media is absolutely refusing to report on. And there's even people that are saying, you know, these guys might have been blackmailing members of Congress using information gleaned from their emails because, you know, and it's like crickets.
Yeah. Where's the media now?
Well, I mean, I'm familiar with the story and I can't even feign the outrage that you have, Alan, because again, like Hillary Clinton was openly breaking the law.
Right.
The director of the FBI said she was breaking the law and then cited a statute that doesn't fucking exist on why he's not even going to indict her on these breaking
which,
of the law.
Which he couldn't do anyway because the FBI doesn't indict anyone.
That's true. But essentially he was demanding a stand down.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
It's all bullshit. And then and meanwhile, you know, Hillary Clinton collapses during the campaign.
Yeah, and nobody says anything.
You know, meanwhile, I mean, you know, John McCain is dying now.
Right.
But Jesus Christ, what was that? That was 10 years ago that John McCain was running for president, and like every time he had a particularly ripe fart, they were talking about the fact that he was too sick and old to run for office.
Yeah, but now he's useful because he's against Trump.
That is true. That is true, but not very useful because he's going to die. But of course, he's going to die like Ted Kennedy, where he's going to be non compos mentis for months and months and months.
Yeah,
but
he's
still
gonna
sitting
be,
in his
exactly.
still occupying his seat.
He'll be sitting there. Yeah, he'll be sitting there drooling in his chair for a long time before they
Ted Kennedy. Well, Ted Kennedy was I haven't actually been following when didn't he just well it just got discovered so he just got reelected, didn't he?
Who?
Ted Kennedy?
McCain. yes, Ted Kennedy.
Hey, Ted Kennedy has been sober for almost 8 years.
No, he hasn't. He's still pickled.
But I know Kennedy was very, very, very sick the last time he ran for the Senate. Like,
oh,
he
yeah.
he was fucking dying. He knew he was dying.
Yep. He didn't care.
And he did not do the right thing, which is step down. And I mean, he could have anointed a successor.
Yeah.
But no, instead we got, you know, I mean, I'm perfectly comfortable with the like 3 months that we got where Ted Kennedy was, you know, was dying and unable to do anything Democrat. You know, same also with Robert Byrd. But still, it's one of those. But the principle of it is that no, you're a fucking employee.
They don't see it that way.
And you weren't able to. No, they don't. No, they don't. They consider themselves a ruling class, or in the case of Robert Byrd, a master race. but like he could have stepped down and anointed a successor, and it would have gone over flawlessly. You know, like Tom Menino did with Marty Walsh.
Yep.
Or, you know, and instead we got to deal with him being completely unavailable for several months before he finally died. And then we got to have an interim appointment and then a special election. And Jesus Christ, what a pain in the ass it was that when Ted Kennedy died.
Well, the same thing's going to happen with McCain.
Yes, that's true.
Because he ain't going to last 6 years. Not with that kind of brain cancer.
Oh, no.
No. And not being in the condition he is. But again, everyone talked about John McCain like, oh, goodness, it seemed like every time I picked up the newspaper, there was just detailed reports of how fucked up he was from the Hanoi Hilton.
And he is.
And he is fucked up, but it was always done with this grave thing of the, oh, he can't comb his own hair because he can't raise his arms above his shoulders. And, you know, and, his teeth were all knocked out and blah, 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 you know, implying that he is too old and sick to serve for office. Yet Hillary Clinton passed out and was dragged and tossed like a sack of potatoes into a van, leaving an expensive shoe on the ground. And
whatever happened to that shoe?
Not a single member of her staff looked the least bit concerned.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise or a shock to any of them.
And it's one thing with the whole, like, okay, the whole, like, oh, Hillary will do one speech and she'll cough like, you know, like she's, you know, Morton Downey Jr. and then take 3 days off when, you know, meanwhile, everybody, even fucking Bernie Sanders, who looks like John McCain, you know, is running around and doing a schedule that I couldn't keep up with.
Oh, my God. John McCain and Bernie Sanders as heat miser and cold miser. Sorry.
But what I'm saying is thanks, that like Jay. Is okay. I can even see the Hillary Clinton coughing like crazy and then taking, you know, days in a row off on the campaign trail as the, you know, that's me. I wouldn't be able to hack this schedule. I would be falling apart giving all these speeches. My throat would be completely raw and I'd be wanting to just like go and lay down and sleep for like 24 hours straight. But then, you know, fast forward now, like, you know, 6 months later, she's given the, you know, she's giving the, she's given the commencement speech at Wellesley College. And again, she's hacking and coughing. And it's one of those like, and nope, nobody's concerned. Nobody, there's nothing to see here. Perfect. Would totally be a better president than Trump. So yeah, so no, these shady Pakistanis with a crooked background and doing all this shady stuff and then trying to leave the country and dumping these huge sums of money, you know, offshore. The fact the media won't touch it doesn't surprise me in the least. Like, yes, this is a big deal, but this would be a big deal if they weren't covering, if they were covering when actual big deals are happening.
Yep.
Yep.
But they won't.
Yes.
You know, it's, We could do another whole show on something like that. And we're already 15 minutes over.
And we're going to do a whole show next week.
Yeah, we are. I just wanted to say real quick before we go, go on Facebook, because I know you all have a Facebook account, and sign up to join the Squirped group, SQRPT. Because
we've been getting new members every week.
We have, and it's a lot of fun.
By the way, yeah.
Don't bother going to the show page, because that doesn't really exist.
Nothing happens there.
Well, you can't really enter. See, okay, here's the thing about Facebook. If you have a page or something like that, unless you pay money, they make it almost unusable for anything.
Yeah, that's true.
And mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay money for this, because nobody pays me for this. So, and I don't think I'd pay Facebook anyway. So the page is worthless, except for, you know, the weekly show announcement gets posted there, you know, whoop-de-doo. But the group is where all the action is. It's very active. People post stuff on it. It's great. So
go to Facebook, search for SQRPT, and you'll find us.
Right.
And we'll probably accept your, you know, request to join the group. And then, unless, you know, you're an asshole, I will delete you personally, because I love to do that.
Breed is the boss of the group.
I kind of am.
No,
I really am.
Question there.
Yep.
Breeda does the book face.
I do.
She's a librarian. She's into book faces.
She will shush you.
Even with Alan the Marine, Breeda is the biggest badass in the group.
That's true.
I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
That's
hey, Breeda, I think you need a neck tattoo.
Oh, no.
No. Breeda gives neck tattoos.
With my teeth. I don't know. Okay. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. We'll be back. Right. We'll be back for our 250th episode.
Should we have a party?
And if you're in the Squirrel Report group, leave a comment on what the fuck that's called.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it's called
the dodecahedron.
It's not the bicentennial. That's 200. I don't know.
It's the.
It's not even really a centennial, because it's not a year.
Oh, it's a centennial.
It's
Buckminster Fullerene.
Sester Centennial.
What is it?
What?
Yes.
Say it again.
Strongylocutus drawbachiensis.
Say it again. Wait. Say it again.
Sester Centennial. S-E-S-T-E-R Centennial.
Your sister Centennial?
Your sister
Centennial. Or Fester Centennial.
Unless it loses a valence electron, then it's a Sestra Centennial.
It is also referred
to. Come on, Jay. I made a chemistry joke for you.
Semi-quincentennial. I like Sester Centennial better.
I don't like any of them. It's just episode 250.
And I'm sorry, weird. What was the chemistry thing? I'm always up for chemistry geekery.
I said unless it loses a valence electron, in which case it becomes a sestra centennial.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, Jay. I was very pleased with that. I suddenly had like a little bit like, oh man, my college chemistry is coming back.
Whew.
It's never a good sign.
Oh, and I'll just point this out that everybody that took organic chemistry in college, if you claim you didn't make drugs in lab, you're lying.
Caffeine.
That's true. Counts. I didn't make caffeine.
That's a drug.
I made menthol too.
Yep.
It's not a drug, but
that's what people use. I remember seeing in chemistry class, you're sitting there and you see like in the back table, there's like all these stoners. And you're like, I know why you're here.
You know, this must be a universal thing, because I took a ceramics class. And of course, there's always the one guy who tries to figure out how to make a pipe and then hide it inside of a pot inside of the kiln. It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why doesn't he just make a pipe?
Well, because... You know, you have to fire it in the communal kiln, and you can't, like, be firing a pipe.
Yeah, the college. This was back in the '90s, right?
It
was
the nuns would frown upon it.
I was going to say the nuns disapproved of making drug paraphernalia in the art class.
Nuns and hookahs don't get along.
Not so much. Yeah, as soon as penguins start coming into the question, then I understand.
Christ, you fat penguin!
All right, well, that's too much fun. We'll be back next week.
Gone off the rails, y'all. Yeah.
Good night, internet.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night, internet.
Bye.